I'm Dr. Theo Spirakis from Bexley Dental, and I can give you back your smile. With the all-on-4 dental procedure, I can put an end to broken and missing teeth and uncomfortable dentures. Book your free all-on-4 consultation now at bexleydental.com.au.
And now on the weekend edition, The Good Health Show, brought to you by our healthy friends, the BMI Clinic.
And one of our very healthy friends from the BMI Clinic is Dr. Adrian Sartoretto, who joins us in the studio.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me again.
It's great to see you. Now, before we get into your wonderful advice and talking all things health, I wanted to ask you about you, because we were talking a little bit off air, and it's quite a fascinating story. I said to you, were your parents doctors? Is that what, you know, got you into the field? And no, it's not at all.
Not at all. My dad's an accountant. My mother's a bookkeeper. And actually, in my family's history, I was the first to go through and complete university studies.
That is amazing. So how did you get into it all?
Bit of a long story, though. The abridged version is sort of when I was 16, sort of moving into year 11 and seriously needing to think about what I was going to do with my life. I had always had this interest in science and a few other things, but I started a job working reception actually at a medical centre near home out in Western Sydney. And basically by working in that role, I really saw that being a doctor was about so much more than book learning. It was about interacting with people every day, being a trusted person, someone who used not only your mind but also your hands. And I found that most appealing. I think that was the thing that really sort of pushed me over the edge.
Your grandparents, both sets came from Italy.
Yeah, so my father's Venetian. My mother's parents are from the southern part of Italy, a place called Calabria. My grandfather was a gyprocker, grandmother was seamstress and cleaner, and my mum's parents were fruiterers. Actually, so
wow.
We've had a long history with fruit and veg in the family.
So you were kind of the black sheep then, aren't you?
I was, although I wasn't the last to go to university, but I am the black sheep in my family. My immediate family, essentially everyone's an accountant now. So, you know, my family, we cover the basics, deaths and taxes.
What we do. Well, luckily for us, you went into the medical field.
That's right.
Now, today you want to talk about reflux, heartburn, those kind of issues.
Yeah, I thought that it might be actually a really relevant topic, given that we've just come out of sort of the period of the year where we all tend to indulge a little bit more, and we're often suffering with a little bit of reflux. And I think a lot of people don't realize actually what it is specifically and how common it is and what sort of problems can arise. So, and I think that we might actually get a few calls in today, because I think this is really relevant.
So what is reflux? Because when I was pregnant, I know I suffered a lot from, I didn't know if it was reflux, indigestion. All I knew is that it hurt and it was really uncomfortable, and I ate a lot of quickies.
But
how do you identify what it is?
So reflux, or gastroesophageal reflux, this is where the contents of the stomach move up into the food pipe, and sometimes even a little bit higher than that. And the most common symptom that people will describe is heartburn, so this feeling of burning just behind the chest bone. But some people can get regurgitation, which is an effortless passage of stomach contents into the throat or into the mouth. Burping is also part of the syndrome, and really we don't really give it the label of, you know, gastroesophageal reflux unless it's happening 3 times a week or more for a regular period of time. So, you know, if it's the occasional meal, you know, the Christmas dinner, and that's the only time of year that you suffer it, we probably wouldn't give it that label.
Well, give us a call, 131 873, if you have any issues yourself or you have any questions for the doctor. What are the main causes of it?
There's actually lots of causes, and this is becoming a really common problem. So about 15%, about 1 in 6 Australians suffer with reflux, and it's becoming more and more common. And the leading modifiable risk factor, so the risk factor that we can actually change, is actually our weight. But there are lots of other things besides. So a hiatus hernia, which is where the top of the stomach sort of pokes up into the chest, is a very common condition, and that can predispose to reflux because it loosens, it weakens that muscle that's supposed to keep stomach contents within the stomach. An infection of the stomach. Now, this is a big one. This is something called Helicobacter pylori. This was an infection actually discovered in Australia, Barry Marshall, over in Western Australia, for which he won a Nobel Prize, by the way.
God, we have a lot of people that do that,
so
don't we?
Talent.
Punch above our weight when it comes to medical research.
New Zealand might be getting the edge on us.
They
punch above their weight as well. But insofar as Helicobacter is concerned, it's actually really important. About 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 Australians suffer with the infection. It's often picked up in childhood. You have no idea. You carry it for decades. And up until very recently, it was the leading cause of stomach ulcers in Australia, and is still the leading cause of stomach cancers in Australia and around the world. So this is a really important infection to identify and to get rid of if you're getting symptoms. partly because the many of the treatments that are used for acid reflux will make the infection much worse in the scheme of things.
So what are the symptoms that we should look out for?
Of this infection?
Yes.
So that can be anything. And the problem is that a lot of people may not have any symptoms at all.
It makes it hard to identify, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. But, you know, if you're getting any sort of abdominal distress after meals, if you're getting reflux, what some people might call indigestion, that's probably a reasonable sign to get tested.
Just a quick cricket update. Thanks to Flexifital, the Aussies are out, all out for 300 in their first innings, trailing by 322 runs after India had that extraordinary 622 declared in their first innings. Stark not out for 29, Hazelwood the last man out. So Australia 300, trailing by 322 runs. We're chatting with Dr. Adrian Santoretto and discussing reflux. Now, tell us about the treatments.
There are lots of different treatments available for reflux, and I think this has become very relevant because I think there's a lot of people around the country now suffering with heartburn with this result.
It doesn't help, does it?
but look, so starting from the most basic, right? First of all, reflux itself is predominantly a lifestyle issue. We definitely know that heartburn becomes much more problematic as you start to gain weight and as you start to increase the amount of junk that creeps into your diet. A lot of these other negative lifestyle traits will tend to make a reflux worse. So before talking about the medications, I think we should probably talk about what you can do. Number one, first and foremost, you can cure reflux in many cases, not every case, simply by losing about 10% of your weight or more. So 10% is where the magic starts to happen.
So regardless of what weight you are, just 10%?
Quite often. Now, again, not in every case. So, you know, if you're quite a thin person to begin with, weight is unlikely to be a major contributor. But it's really, it's that visceral fat. It's that fat, that weight that you carry around your midsection that really causes the problem, because that fat is putting pressure on the stomach, and it's encouraging reflux and regurgitation. So you can be a regular weight, but if your midsection is a bit bigger than it ought to be, then that can be the problem.
Okay.
Aside from that, things like caffeine, so whether it's coming from your Coke or whether it's coming from coffee or whatever else, if you're having too much caffeine over the course of the day, that can make it worse. Smoking will make it worse.
All
caffeinated beverages. I'm not going to single them out.
Not just the bubbly ones.
No, and those sorts of things will have other problems as well. Because of the acidity of these soft drinks, they can start to cause other symptoms and problems.
Well, see, my granny has always loved a black coffee, but she can't have it. She will always have tea just because of her reflux.
Coffee's great. So I don't want to demonise coffee. In fact, there's so many different health benefits from coffee. And maybe we can touch on that a bit later.
It is 19 minutes past 3 in Sydney and Canberra, 19 past 2 in Brisbane. We'll get to some of your questions next. Dr. Adrian Santoretto is with us from the BMI Clinic. Let's get to some of your calls with questions about health and wellbeing. Monica's at Potts Point. Good afternoon, Monica.
Good afternoon, Natalie, Erin and Dr. Adrian. Look, I think I'm a very good subject to discuss this matter with, because I had it, two and a half years ago. I started to get very, very sick, and in the end, I had a breath test where you just put the tablet under, and the doctor gave me the box of amoxicillin. That didn't work. I went away for a weekend somewhere, ate all the weekend food that you have at the restaurants, came back violently ill, and he gave me another box. In the end, I had an endoscopy, and I was a millionaire's plus, absolutely. And so what I ended up with was taking 140 tablets in 10 days to rid myself of this. I think it's what they give leprosy, but I'm not quite sure. I was told that. I was so ill, and I was at the doctors every day with all the after effects, the scratching, the itching, getting so thin and so ill. I went to a dietitian the doctor sent me to. My daughter tried to help me with what foods I could eat and couldn't eat. Yep. So consequently now I have an enlarged, I ended up with a hiatus hernia. Mm-hmm. Hernia, I never say that word properly. But I've been to a specialist. It's not operable. It is operable, but I'm not having it done. I just avoid. I avoid the foods that I know I can't eat: fatty foods, sugary foods, fizzy drinks, acidic foods. You know, probably the diet I'm on is wonderful for people, for everybody, because, yes, I'll go and have the chocolate, but honest to God, if I have more than five pieces, then I'm violently ill. Mm. So, you know, that is the most... I could write a book about it, and probably I will, because I lived it, and I'm nearly almost crying, because it's terrible. Yeah. And when I go out now, I just say, look, I need to avoid this, and I just... Oh, you can have all this, and I said, no, I'll just have the best food I have. My diet consists of two egg omelettes without the yolk every morning, without the yolks. I have dried biscuits, so those Ryvita things, and I have prawns, and I make a very, very light curry with quinoa and salad, and then I have the chicken, and I chop that up into little pieces, and I have that as like a soup with vegetables, and I do the same with mince, and so all of that, you know, it's a wonderful diet for everyone to have. I avoid fruit cake because I love it, but it doesn't love me. And so I try something and I only have two bites and think, oh, I can't have that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's something I'm going to live with for the rest of my life.
Were you able to get rid of the infection after all that, Monica?
Yes, and I go back every 12 months, but the Dr. Tam did say to me that because I'm kind of susceptible, that someone has to, that I've been, if someone has, I'm going to, it's gone, but to 1% eradication. But he did call to warn me that because I'm kind of susceptible, if someone hasn't washed their hands after being in the toilet and they've touched my food, a one lettuce leaf, I could get it again. Yeah. So every 12 months I have this, you know, I mean, I weigh 53 kilos. So, yeah. People say, oh, you've got a wonderful figure, but it's not that. It's just that I have to watch what I eat, and it really, I'm nearly crying because it really, really restricts me. I can't have busy drinks.
Yeah.
Your quality of life as well is clearly struggling, Monica.
And you've really, really demonstrated, I think, to everyone here, Monica, with your story, that how much this sort of a problem really can affect your life. And when studies have looked at sort of quality of life coming from reflux symptoms, I mean, it's on par with heart disease and rheumatoid arthritis. It can be really disabling because these symptoms, they can often just, they're just always there, that your mind can't get away from them. And it sounds like, Monica, you've had a really difficult time with this infection in particular, and you've had sort of the end of the line treatment. The good news is that once you have successfully got rid of the infection, the chances of ever getting it back in your lifetime is less than 1%. So you can be 99% comfortable that you're not going to get this infection back. And believe it or not, we still don't entirely know how it's transmitted from person to person.
Do you think Monica needs to be as strict with her diet as she is being? Are there things that she can maybe ease up a little bit on to have a more pleasant lifestyle? Well,
I think that, so again, at the moment here in this context, from what I understand, Monica's really eating to manage her symptoms, which is really important. And so the sorts of things that you've already described, so avoiding, you know, fatty meals or fried foods is important, making sure that your portions are smaller, making sure that you're not eating 3 or 4 hours before bedtime, making sure that you're not smoking and drinking in particular, not eating late at night. All of those are important things. The curry makes me a little bit nervous. As someone who suffers with reflux myself, curry is usually one of my trigger foods.
I think it was mild, but still makes you nervous. Yeah. Okay, great call. Thank you.
Kate's called in from Northmead. Good afternoon, Kate.
Oh, good afternoon, gorgeous girls and doctor.
Lovely to hear from you, Kate. What's your question?
I, just before Christmas, was diagnosed with a condition called orthostatic hypertension, and it's driving me insane. It's the dizziness and having to hang on. And I think it's because my job has changed at work, where I'm sort of standing in the one spot all the time and not sort of moving around. But I'm also finding that when I get home, you know, and lying down on the couch, watch a bit of TV and normally falling asleep, my legs are killing me. You know, there's restless legs and also just, you know, a lot of pain in my legs. And I'm just wondering, I mean, there's no underlying causes like diabetes and Parkinson's and all the other things that, you know, are attributed to it. The only thing that I can put it down to is standing in the one spot. I mean, work is letting me split my shifts, my breaks. Mm. So I have, you know, more frequent breaks. But have you got any suggestions maybe, Doctor?
Well, orthostatic hypertension basically means that your blood pressure drops as you stand up or as you remain on your feet for an extended period of time. And it can be quite, again, quite troubling because you get dizzy, you get lightheaded, and some people may even faint. And there can be lots of different causes. But can I ask, Kate, have you seen a doctor or a specialist about this? And what's been their recommendation to you so far?
Well, at this stage, yes, I have seen my doctor. Unfortunately, he's on holidays at the moment, and he's a very, very good doctor. He's talking about, although I don't think, and neither does he, he's thinking of sending me to a cardiologist just to, you know, double check. But he's changed the blood pressure tablets I'm on, and my blood pressure has been incredibly high. So he's brought the levels down on the Sevicar and got rid of the last one on the list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, medications, I'm taking meclovamide and Abilify, the Sevicar, and I'm taking turmeric and magnesium. You know, I've got bursas in my hip, which is not helping either. So I'm just sort of wondering, is there anything that's worthwhile trying?
Well, so it sort of always depends on what the underlying cause is. In your particular case, I think it would be worthwhile seeing a cardiologist just to make sure that the heart is working fine and that there's no issues there. It may well be the case that the blood pressure medications have actually served to make the problem a little bit worse. In cases where blood pressure is not a problem, in cases where the heart is okay, sometimes just increasing the amount of salt in your diet can make the difference. If you're someone who suffers with varicose veins as well, that might limit the amount of blood flowing back to the body as well. Using some tight compression stockings that are fitted appropriately can also help just to keep you on your feet. But the other really good thing is moving around. So rather than standing in one single position, if you're able to move, just engaging the calf muscles will help to pump blood back up to the rest of the body.
So even just up on your toes and down in the one
Absolutely.
Spot?
Absolutely, but ideally walking from A to B. And that will help to keep the blood flowing and may assist. But it's very difficult to give specific advice, unfortunately, Kate, unless we know all of these other details.
Have to see a doctor now. A quick cricket update, thanks to Westpac Home Insurance. India has enforced the follow-on. Australia back at the crease, none for four. Usman Khawaja and Harris at the crease, trailing by 318 runs. Now let's get to one more quick call. Diana's in Penrith. Good afternoon, Diana.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 62. I'll be 63 in June. I've had what was originally called stomach ulcers when I was 24, and I was put on a number of medications over the years, and I think I kept taking them for about 20 years or so. Then it sort of went away, and it stayed away for many years. Then I started taking fish tablets, not realizing that they can cause it to come back. Anyway, until it was too late, I kept taking the fish tablets until I started eliminating different foods, and then I found out it was the fish oil. And since I stopped the fish oil, I cannot get rid of what they now call GERD. And I'm taking Nexium 40 mg per day, one a day. And I tried taking less, like one every second day, but I can't do it because whatever you call it, you can call it, you know, heartburn, you can call it.
Absolutely.
Or whatever, you know, it just keeps coming back. And I just wanted to know if there's anything you can suggest that I may try.
Well, so the first thing is, if you were diagnosed with ulcers, you know, the better part of 40 years ago, we didn't know about this infection back then. And ulcers at a young age back then was almost certainly due to this infection. So if you've never been tested, it's worthwhile paying your GP a visit and getting tested. The anti-inflammatory properties of fish oil can sometimes make these things worse. But this goes back to all the other things. In your particular case, if Nexium 40 milligrams daily isn't getting on top of your symptoms, if you've not had one before, you should have an endoscope. So this is a camera test through the mouth and into the stomach to look around to make sure that there's no other problems. And at any point, if anyone is suffering with heartburn that isn't getting better with acid medications, or if you're suffering with weight loss as a result, or bleeding, iron, which includes iron deficiency, I should add, or vomiting, for example, or trouble swallowing, these are all signs that you need to have a better look inside just to make sure that everything else is okay. I think that's where I would probably start with you, Diana. If you've never been tested, have a test for the Helicobacter.
Okay, Doctor. Well, I guess it's worth us saying this isn't personalised medical advice, and
no.
People should see their doctors.
Of course.
But thank you so much for telling us all about reflux and the different treatment options available. How do people get in touch with you and the BMI clinic if they want more information?
Oh, look, go through the website. It's probably the best place to start with the BMI clinic anyway.
BMIclinic.com.au. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Doctor.
That is Dr. Adrian Sartoretto there from the BMI clinic, BMIclinic.com.au if you want some more information.